Why do we take on too much? The answers to this are as different as they are the same. As we've discussed before, whilst there are some practical reasons for taking on too much, such as rise of cost of living, job insecurity, many of the reasons for taking on too much stem from fear and shame. G'day everyone, Lauren Kress here, and welcome back to another episode of Refuel Your Fire. Before we continue, I would like to acknowledge and pay my respects to the traditional custodians of country on the land on which I'm recording this episode, to the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation. And I also want to pay my respects to elders past and present, and to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples living and working on the land today, including any First Nations listeners of this podcast show. If you're new to this podcast, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to some earlier episodes, and in particular to the self-care spectrum episode I shared back in July last year. This will help you to familiarize yourself with some of the concepts we regularly discuss on the show, including in today's episode. Today, we're going to be exploring what I believe to be one of the most crucial aspects of burnout prevention and recovery, and that is setting boundaries. Now, I'm going to try to make this episode as practical as possible, but there's also something that you need to do, and that is you need to practice. I'm learning a new language at the moment. I'm learning Italian. Sto imparando l'italiano. And whilst I can learn all the vocabulary and grammatical rules and listen to loads of Italian each and every day, I can't expect to just walk up to someone and start speaking Italian perfectly without ever saying a word. I have to practice. I have to do lots of practice. The same goes for boundary setting. If assertive and effective boundary setting language isn't part of your normal everyday vocabulary, it's not what you're used to speaking, it's going to feel a little hard to speak at first, just like when you start speaking a new language. And if we think about it, in the heat of the moment when someone may be pressing hard against your boundaries, it's going to be even more difficult. In fact, if you didn't grow up with boundary setting being modeled to you by your carers and the adults around you, you might not even be clear on what your boundaries are or when they're being crossed. It might not even feel quote unquote right to have boundaries at all. It may feel quote unquote comfortable to let others walk all over them. So I recommend after listening to today's show, you set aside time to practice boundary setting language. You can practice it by yourself or with someone else, but either way, the important thing is to practice outside of that heat of the moment situation. We want to make it something you can do automatically without thinking so that the skill is there when you need it most. To help you with this, I've created a short workbook to go along with today's podcast. You can find out more about that workbook and access it using the link in the episode description. Just before we get on to those eight strategies, though, let's talk about what a boundary is. Simply put, a boundary refers to a personal limit or guideline that defines what is acceptable or unacceptable in terms of behavior, interactions, commitments, and responsibilities. These boundaries help us to protect our physical, emotional, and mental well-being by establishing limits on how much we are willing to give or tolerate in various aspects of our lives, such as work, relationships, and personal time. Setting boundaries involves communicating these limits assertively and effectively to others and taking actions to enforce them when necessary. Okay, so now we understand what a boundary is. Let's explore those eight essential strategies that will help you set boundaries and prevent burnout. Number one, identify your limits. To do this, we need to set aside time and space for self-reflection. Reflect on your past experiences where you felt overwhelmed or drained. You can ask yourself questions like, what situations or activities tend to leave me feeling exhausted or stressed? Are there specific behaviors from others that consistently push my boundaries? How do I typically react when I've reached my limit? Do I experience physical or emotional signs of burnout? Journal your thoughts and feelings during this reflection process. This exercise will help you gain clarity on your limits and your triggers for burnout as well. And if you want to access those questions, visit my website for that workbook as well. I'll give you some other questions you can ask yourself along with this one. Number two, communicate clearly. To do this, we're going to have a look at one of the techniques we can use, which is called the DESC framework, D-E-S-C. The DESC framework stands for D, describe the situation. Begin by describing what's going on in a neutral and factual manner. This sets the context for the conversation and ensures that both you and the other person you're talking to are on the same page. E, express your feelings. Share your feelings and emotions regarding the situation. Use I statements to take ownership of your feelings without placing blame on the other person. This helps the other party understand the impact of their request on you. S. S stands for state your needs or preferences. Clearly communicate your needs, preferences, or boundaries regarding the situation. Be specific about what you're comfortable with and what you're not comfortable with. This will allow you to assert your boundaries while maintaining respect for yourself and the other person. And C, consequences or compromise. Discuss potential consequences or propose compromises if applicable. This demonstrates that you're willing to work towards a solution while still prioritizing your boundaries and well-being. All right, so let's have a look at how this actually plays out in a role-playing scenario. Let's say your colleague walks up to you and says, "Hey, I know you're swamped with your own projects, but I was wondering if you could help me with some extra tasks. It shouldn't take too much of your time." Okay, so to describe a situation, you could start with something like, "I understand that you're seeking assistance with these additional tasks outside of my current workload." E, express your feelings. "I feel overwhelmed by my current workload already, and taking on these extra tasks would only add to my stress." S, state your needs or preferences. "I really need to be prioritizing my existing responsibilities to make sure I can deliver results effectively. I wouldn't be able to give these tasks the attention they deserve without sacrificing the quality of my work." C, consequences or compromise. "Maybe we can brainstorm some alternative solutions together or discuss delegating these tasks to another team member who has more availability. I want to support the team, but I need to ensure that I can fulfill my current commitments." So in that, we can see that there's the I statements being used, that expressing the feelings without blame. It's not "you're making me feel overwhelmed." It's "I feel overwhelmed with what's already going on with my current workload." We're clearly providing a solution at the end there. Here's what I can do to help. And it's very reasonable. So one of the things that can happen with boundary setting is if we're uncomfortable with setting boundaries, one option is we don't set them at all. But the other is that we go a little bit too hard. "No, look, I can't do that. You need to find someone else." And those rigid boundaries aren't necessarily healthy either. So remembering that DESC, D-E-S-C, you can look that up as well and practice role-playing. I mean, if you can grab a friend or a colleague to help you with practicing it and role-playing it, even better. Okay, number three is prioritize your self-care. So this is where, for new listeners, I recommend you have a listen to my episode on the self-care spectrum so that you can understand how to assess the impact that self-care is having or the lack of self-care is having on your overall health and well-being. To go beyond that initial assessment of what we talk about there, it's also a good idea to explore how you take care of yourself in various aspects of your life. I've included an exercise to help you with this in that workbook as well. And in addition, if it's something that you'd like to explore and discuss further, you can also book in a free 30-minute coaching session with me. This is something I have just started offering, and you can access that on my website, the Cheat Sheets. That's my online store website, which is www.thecheatsheets.co, and I'll put the link in the episode description as well. Number four, learn to say no. So clarify your priorities and values to be able to confidently say no to non-essential commitments. One of the things I really like to do with this to help set priorities is to use the Eisenhower Matrix or also Stephen Covey released an adaptation of that, where you can start to understand what activities and tasks are falling into that sort of time-wasting side of things. So sometimes things can appear urgent because, say, for instance, a colleague has asked you to do something outside of the scope of your work. it may be that it's delivered with a sense of urgency. We need you to do this. It needs to happen by tomorrow. And it can be sort of mistaken for an important task when it might actually be not important. So that priority sort of matrix can help you to understand, hang on, this doesn't align with the things that I really need to do that are actually important for me or for, achieving my goals. That's a really, really good one. And I'll be talking about that more in a minute. Number five, set boundaries around technology use. So this is a boundary too, and it's getting harder and harder to set this one. When I was growing up, there were three main areas to set boundaries on in relation to what we're talking about here. It was how much TV I watched, how much of the computer I used, and how many videos or CD-ROM games I've played. I definitely think I'm showing my age there. Now, in today's society, we have a device in our pocket all the time that has all of that plus so, so much more. And it's a way that we can, again, constantly be bombarded and almost like our brain is tricked into thinking, I've got to respond to that. There's another notification. I've got to get back to this. I've got to do that. And those tasks might not actually be the tasks we really need to be focusing on. So finding ways to temporarily disconnect from our devices for a set period, for instance, on the weekend or after a certain time in the evening, is really important to help us not only reduce stress, but improve our sleep quality, promote mindfulness, being present in the moment, enhancing our productivity and our ability to focus. And it also helps to strengthen relationships with those around us in the present moment as well. Number six, big one here, practice self-compassion. There are so many ways to access guided meditations nowadays, and that can help you to focus on cultivating self-compassion. Research shows that as little as 1 minute of meditation a day can go a long, long way. I've mentioned on the show before, with meditation, one thing you need to be careful of is it's not necessarily a solution for everyone. It can be contraindicated. For instance, if you've experienced severe trauma or you suffer from PTSD, meditation might be a bit too overwhelming. Also, in the case of acute stress or if you're in the middle of a crisis, meditation might not be appropriate either. So just keep that in mind. Another thing you can do is to practice self-compassionate phrases. So saying things to yourself like, may I be kind to myself, and I deserve compassion and understanding. For me, when I notice I'm being hard on myself, I like to come back to this fundamental truth about humans. I am valuable by the simple fact that I am a human. Without doing anything, without proving myself, without out participating anything, without offering any value to the world, I am valuable because I am human. Despite what the stories in our current world may lead us to believe, or rather bombard us with every day, the fact of the matter is, we're just as valuable as any other human because we exist. And this idea comes from Carl Rogers, the founder of humanistic psychology. And he's the guy who came up with the concept of self-actualization, which you might already be familiar with. As part of his theory, he emphasized the idea that every person possesses intrinsic worth simply by virtue of being human. He rejected the idea of conditional worth, which suggests that an individual's value is contingent upon meeting certain criteria or standards imposed by others. Instead, Rogers argued that each person has inherent dignity and deserves to be treated with respect, empathy, and unconditional positive regard. Number seven, establish work-life balance. There's a lot we can talk about here, and I will definitely do future episodes about this. My favorite tool for time management is bullet journaling. It's so simple, and for a lot of people, it's very, very effective. For me, after trying loads of time management and even some habit tracking techniques as well, I can say hand on heart, this was the best solution for me. That doesn't mean it's the best solution for everyone. There are loads of things to try here, and there's so many apps that can help you to prioritize tasks and build helpful habits that align with your goals. In terms of a starting place, I've got a really good time management exercise you can use to help you conduct a time audit and start to assess how you're currently allocating your time between your work, your personal, and your leisure activities. I've popped that in the workbook for today's episode as well. And basically, we use a combination of the Eisenhower matrix, which I mentioned a little bit earlier, as well as a priority matrix so that you can reprioritize your time and start to build helpful habits that actually align with the goals that you want to achieve. Also, if you want to learn more about bullet journaling, I've created a couple of YouTube videos, and also I have a free Notion template you can use to help you get started. So I'll pop those links for this in today's episode as well. Number 8, regularly reassess and adjust. So this could be in the form of like a monthly reflection ritual where basically you review your boundaries and assess your overall well-being. You sit down once a month and you ask yourself questions like, did I effectively communicate my boundaries to others this month? Were there any situations where my boundaries were challenged or compromised? What sources of stress did I encounter this month and how did I cope with them? In the workbook for the episode, I've also included a bunch of other questions that can help guide your reflection process here. So like I said, if you would like to find out more about that boundary setting workbook that I've been mentioning in today's episode, you can head over to my website, www.thecheatsheets.co, and this resource will be listed in the Refuel Your Fire tab on the website. I'll also put the full link in the episode description. I hope you can join me next month for my next episode of Refuel Your Fire. In the meantime, if you'd like to access more content like this, check out my YouTube channel, The Cheat Sheets. You can also visit my blog on Substack. I'll pop those links in the description as well. Until next time, I hope you have a lovely and restorative break over the Easter long weekend, and I'll talk to you again soon. Cheers.